2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Come check us out at DFSArmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 10% off. We cover all daily fantasy sports, and we're especially excited to bring you guys coverage of the U.S. Open here at Shinnecock Hills. I've got a special guest with me in the studio today. Please introduce yourself, Josh.
What's up, Taco? This is Josh Thomas, DFS up north on DFS Army. I've been working with the PGA guys here for the last month or so, and excited for the U.S. Open. This is like my favorite event of the year, I think.
This is one of my favorites of the year for sure. Love how they have it set up and how challenging it is year to year. So this year we're going to Shinnecock Hills. Definitely don't want to say what I want to say about the course, but should be a really good venue. People said some really good things about it. It's really tough. The weather's going to come into play a lot. Just tell them a little about what you found out about the course so far.
Yeah, you know, I mean, looking at some of the quotes from some of the guys this week, and you know, Phil Mickelson says it's a true test. You know, it's a lot of, you know, you got to do everything well. You got to drive the ball well. You got to hit it in the fairway. Strong approach game, and this week you're really going to have to play well in the wind too. So it's looking to be a good test for these guys, and I think we might, especially if the wind picks up, we might see guys, you know, struggling to break par, and the winning score being maybe in those single digits under par.
Yeah, it's hard to do the usual breakdown like we usually would, right, for an event that stays course to course. We haven't played here since 2004 when Ernie Els held off Phil Mickelson for his victory. And that's way too far back to even think about looking at. They've made significant renovations to the course so far.
Yeah, it looks like the course is playing about 400 yards longer. Now they've kind of tightened up some of the fairways, let the rough grow, and I know they added a few bunkers out there. So it's gonna be a little bit different test for these guys around this time, and it should be a fun one. You know, I was watching some of the videos today, and if you don't hit it in the fairway, like a bogey's a pretty good score. That rough is long.
Yeah, you should definitely see a lot of carnage out there. You could just see, looking back year to year at the U.S. Open, there are so many good, just really, really big names that missed the cut horribly.
It happens
every single year, and it's no exception. I mean, they make the course about as hard as they can.
You look at some of these guys' course logs, you know, I mean, or event history. You got a Dustin Johnson who misses the cut last year, and then 1, 2, 4. You know, three great years in a row, and then a couple of other bad performances. So it's not a year to year for a lot of guys. It's not a year to year thing that they're always competing in the U.S. Open. There's going to be blow up years, and there's years where they're going to contend.
Yeah. So event history, while it's something to look at, it's definitely not something to look at like we usually would for like course history, where it's the same venue every year.
Not like the Masters.
They do have like their set of rules that they try to set up each course for, like the tough roughs and the champion speed greens. Usually these are longer courses, and this is a par 70, a 7,400 yard par 70. That is pretty freaking long.
Yeah, that's long. I know we talked about it, you know, in the Slack a little bit this week. There's that par 5 here that has a 280 yard carry, and there's a lot of guys that, you know, amateur golfers that wouldn't even be able to ever think about hitting it far. So it's going to be a long, and I think that, you know, the advantage is going to be to the bombers and some of these guys like a Dustin Johnson and a Brooks Koepka, guys who really, really hit it out there but are accurate.
Yeah, but on top of that, you also need some driving accuracy to go with
right.
Just a good week for the total drivers out there,
right?
Because just missing the fairways are so penal. And you're really going to need to, there's lots of sand on the course as well. You're going to need a good around the green game. But for putting, that's the only strokes gained stat that I'm just not sure about this week because it's just so hard to know.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at it too much. It's nice. I mean, obviously you want to be a good putter, but it's I don't think it's gonna be the difference maker this week. Somebody's going to have to get fairly hot with the putter, but it's not going to make or break, guys, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the putting surface is Poa mixed with bent grass here. That's usually something that we don't see outside of the West Coast swing. Should present its own unique challenges there, but it's hard to really look at any sort of putting metric, even what they've done like on the West Coast and Poa and stuff, and really be able to using that over like recent form or even tee to green stats. It's hard to really factor that in much.
Right.
And I personally want to really focus on just overall skill, because like Phil said, it's going to be an overall challenge to see who's got a complete game. I just don't want to see any huge chinks in the armor here, anything that really sticks out bad when I'm looking for guys, because the field is so soft. I could be as picky as I want to. There are good plays up and down the board. It's a major. There's always the soft pricing and really, really good looking plays down low.
Yeah, I mean, and going back to the strokes game putting, like if you're chasing guys who are good Poa putters, and it just feels like you're stretching for something there. If that's the only thing that they do well, I mean, if they do that well and have great approach game and great total driving, that's awesome, and that's just an added benefit. But I'm not going to look at that solely to try to make decisions.
Yeah, I usually try to fade the putting stats because I know this is going to be a very, very, very undulating green. And with championship speeds, most likely,
right.
It's going to be almost complete variance. You might almost want to look to like lag putters if you were to look at anything.
Yeah, guys who aren't necessarily, their proximity from 30 feet is better than, their actual strokes gained putting.
Yeah, but like I said, I just really want to focus on the tee to green game here, especially having the mix of distance with accuracy. I think that's going to be really nice. Your guys like John Rahm or Mark Leishman are guys that have proven that they can not only gain the strokes off the tee from like accuracy like Henrik Stenson does, or just from distance like Rory does. I want them to have a combination of both. And approach the green, that's usually pretty much always the most important stat. It's going to be about as important as it usually is. The stat the greens are just slightly smaller on square footage than all the other than your average green on tour, but it is cut pretty short, so we'll see some roll off and the approach game is gonna be important. But we kind of say it every week, and you should already know that the approach is the most important thing to look at. But I think that off the tee stats are just a little bit more important than baseline this week for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's been weeks in the past, guys who have been around that listen to you on here or read our, we always are hammering strokes gained approach the green. And there's some weeks that we don't even look at off the tee, but I really do think that the off the tee stats are going to be huge this week.
I can't really pull up the correlation stats to show like how it usually shows, but it's always going to be important. But
yep,
definitely looking for the good drivers, and especially the guys just that really rank highly in good overall stats. I love the adjusted field rank metric. It just shows you what percentage of golfers they beat in a given field, and it adjusts for field strength as well. And you kind of also want to make a note of these guys' average field strength. Some guys have really, really good numbers on the board, but you can see that they play in extremely weak fields. Like Chess and Hadley, for example, just amazing numbers, but most of the time he's playing these weak fields because he hasn't been able to qualify for these nice fields until now. But we'll see what you're all about, Chasen.
Yeah, I like the tall guy this week. We'll have to talk about him in a little bit. You also want to make sure that you're looking. Some guys on the RS are going to pop just because they have a small sample size. Like a Matthew Southgate has 100% made cut percentage. Well, it's because he's only played in two events, and there's only one that was a cut event. So when guys are looking at that, they got to be careful too.
Yeah, this is also just an important week to think about ownership. My guess is that as the weather comes along throughout the next few days, if things are looking pretty gnarly, I expect everybody's odds to drop a bit. Just at that's kind of a telling sign that we're expecting more variance than usual. Right. We'll see if the odds stay the same. We can expect, I guess, chalkier results would be a way to put it. But yeah, you see these big odds drop offs, you got to watch out because who knows what could happen then. But we'll see as we see, get close to Wednesday.
We could see a big weather draw too. You know, if it looks like the AM/PM is going to be the better way, those guys are going to see their ownership bump up. You know, 3-4%. As opposed to the guys in the afternoon. And that's something that, you know, you just got to keep an eye on.
That could absolutely be a huge factor here. I know when they were renovating the course a bit, they got rid of a bunch of trees.
Yeah.
And the wind is looking to be about 10 to 15 miles per hour right now. But gusts could get pretty bad. And that could always change as we get closer to Wednesday.
Yeah, so like I always
really look out for.
Right. Like I always try to, you know, if I'm looking at the weather and say I'm making 20 lineups, I'll play, you know, five that are all AM, all PM, or all AM, PM, and then five, and then 10 that are kind of a mix, and then I'll hedge stack with five more that are in the bad draw, just because, especially when you're talking about wind, like that's, and sometimes even rain, like at the British Open, that's sometimes that bad draw ends up being the good one too. And if you have that hedge stack of guys with that are lower owned, you can, that's a smart game theory play.
Absolutely. I love doing that.
Yep, me too.
I usually do not pay as much attention to the AM/PM stacks, just because I think oftentimes it could be a bit of noise. But I'm on that this week, so
yep.
It could be a sign here. I think that there could really be some differences in the AM and PMs. But you want to hear about that?
Was it Memorial like 2 weeks ago when we saw like almost a 3-stroke difference in AM/PM? There was a huge wave differential.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was the Memorial or Fort Worth, one of the two.
Oh, yeah, it was one of the two. But yeah, there was it didn't really look like there was going to be, and all of a sudden there, you know, it just turned out that one of the, yeah, it was Fort Worth. I think the afternoon wave scored a lot better.
And at the Wells Fargo, I remember everyone was thinking that the AM wave was going to have an advantage, and then all of a sudden the PM wave was like a stroke and a half better than the AM wave.
Right. That's awesome. And yeah. if you would have went against the grain and what all the touts are saying on Twitter, you'd probably be in better shape.
Oh yeah. Well, we got to get into this player field here. We got all of the best golfers in the world to pick from. We didn't have any high level withdrawals, so everyone's here. Pretty sure the top 50 in the world are here. Is that correct? Is anyone sitting out with injury?
I think we've got everyone. I think we've got everybody in the top 60, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which and is awesome.
If we look here on the DraftKings pricing, everyone 90 and above is 20-1 or better. And then there's a drop off to Matsuyama's about 30-1. So that makes for a real nice cutoff for like the upper tier of golfers from Dustin Johnson to Brooks Koepka. So let's talk about this range here first. Who are you going to be targeting? Because my core, I'll put it like this. All of their names rhyme, all three of them.
Of your favorites?
Yes. All three of their names rhyme.
Oh, man. I mean, personally, if I'm looking at it, I'm going to have some Dustin. You know, I'll probably be overweight on Dustin Johnson. He's playing so well right now that it's ridiculous. He's our top projected score. But I really like kind of that Justin Rose, John Rahm. You can, with the soft pricing this week, you can pair those two. And I think that sets you up for a really, really strong lineup. Who are your three rhymers here?
Oh yeah, it's Dustin Johnson.
Justin
needs some love too.
Yeah, I like Justin. I mean, Justin Thomas is our second highest projected scorer this week, and he's his driving distance, his strokes gained approach, like he's a stud. He's the number one, number two player in the world now. But Dustin took that back over this weekend. But yeah, he's a monster.
I'm sure he doesn't want to just have the 1 week on board. I think he's ready to become number one again.
Yep. We could see. I think you know, there's guys that are going to be able to, that are going to contend, and somebody's going to pop on the leaderboard early. But I think by the time we get down to Sunday afternoon, you're going to see Justin and Dustin really battling down the stretch.
Yeah, for sure. And Justin Thomas has just been, I mean, who's been more consistent than Justin Thomas this year? He is just always there, even if he looks like he'll struggle to make the cut. Come the weekend, I mean, you got to have him in your showdown lineups pretty much every weekend because he is just a weekend warrior.
Right. He got in on the players, like with his buddy Spieth missing a putt and then finished 11th. Just went nuts on Saturday and Sunday. That's what he does.
I don't think anyone's had more like scores of 66 or better than JT over the last 2 years. I don't think it's close.
No, he's what's his fantasy? What do we have him at for fantasy points per hole?
He's got to
be up there as one of the highest. Yeah, .98, like
higher than Dustin
in that
Johnson.
Range. Yep, in that range, better than Dustin, better than everybody else except for Ram.
And he also projects to the highest for the course. Might as well talk about that real quick. There are the way this course is set up. There are two, basically a really short par three. Well, short for them, 160 yards, and two par threes around the 180, 190 range. Then a really long, like 250-yard par three.
That's long.
Then
I mean, I'd have to hit driver there. Is anybody going to hit driver there this week, you think?
Jim Furyk might have to.
I'm a little worried about Furyk on this course.
I don't even know if he can clear the green with his driver. But yeah, the key distance this week, look at the par fives. Both of them are on the longer side, but it's the long par four scoring. There's seven of them on this course. Being a par 70 course, we are going to look to par four scoring. And you know, you can just look at par four scoring overall if you want to. But here on DFS Army, we like to break it down a little bit further. Looking at the long par fours, almost half of the holes on the course are going to be in this range. So that's just going to be really important because that's where you hold on to the ship, really. It's where you keep the ship from sinking, is making par on those long par fours.
Do you know who happens to be the number one long par four scorer in the field, Taco?
Is that my favorite golfer?
Your boy, Henrik Stenson.
Yeah.
After last week, do you know who my least favorite golfer is the number two long par four scoring? Scott Piercy. Mm. Oof, he killed me. He killed me last week.
Scott Piercy.
I got sucked into Piercy.
I kind of almost knew better. Just, I don't know. It was like David Sinker in the same boat. They had the great approach stats, but the horrible recent form. Only one pulled through.
Yep.
But
Piercy's, for having such great approach stats, like Piercy's almost lost two strokes approach last week. So if he can't score approach, he is going to get smoked. So that was, I whiffed there.
That's one of the greatest things about the way the research station's set up now. You can see what they've done on the last time out, what they've done in the last five events, and what they've done just for the season, just to get a sense of who's been able to hold it together in certain stats and who's just a bit of fool's gold for the week. You know,
right.
If you look at Tiger Woods' putting performance last week and think, God, he is just the worst putter ever. But you know, for the season, he's actually above average. You know?
Yeah, I just think we're going to see a little bounce back from Tiger this week. He's going to...
For sure. I really do like attacking the guys that were doing well the last time out, just so happened to putt poorly, like an Adam Scott, like Webb Simpson.
Well, and recency bias is such a big thing that you can take advantage of it in DFS golf. So, you know, like a Tiger Woods who plays, you know, not great and guys are always, people are so quick to be like, oh, he's done or, you know, and you can jump on board and get a guy like that at low ownership. That's still one of the top 20 players in the world. Like that's a huge advantage for you.
Yeah, and I always like to attack the game loggers. Game logging is like the number one sin. So I try to avoid the guys that just look good on the game log, or even a Brendan Grace who looks like he has 18 out of 18 made cuts, even though several of them were no-cut events where he did very crappy at.
Right.
Or the European Tour events where I could make the cut.
Yeah, especially this week too, with the U.S. Open and the Millie Maker, and that many more casual golf fans coming in. That's one thing that we should be using to our advantage at DFS Army is our research station and all of that, because we're not just looking at the game logs; we're looking at everything else, and that can be a huge advantage for you.
You know, in the quarter arcade, you know, about half the field is just game logging,
right?
Like, they're just here to have fun.
Oh, this guy had a 10th last week? Yep, I'm in.
Unfortunately, these guys will be picking Paul Casey. And that sucks, but...
Right? Like, I want to play a ton of him this week.
Before we get into that range, that juicy 8, 7K range or so, of the guys up on the top, anyone that we haven't mentioned yet, like our defending champion that we should talk about a little bit?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't. What do you think about Brooks this week?
I like Brooks. You know, I talked to him when I went to Quail Hollow. I think I mentioned it the last few pods, but he told me that his wrist was 100%.
Right.
And since then, he's been great. He's back to classic Brooks.
You're probably gonna get him at lower ownership too, with that. You know, talking about game loggers with the 30th place last week. The only thing that concerns me with him is again, driving accuracy and that double bogey or worse percentage. Like he can really mess up some holes sometimes. But again, I think there's only one water hazard on the course this week. So, and he's not bad from the sand. So it's, I'll probably take some shots on Brooks, but I would say the majority of my ownership is going to be in that Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Dustin Rose, John Rahm area. Maybe, I mean, I'm a Tiger Woods fanboy, so I'll probably have a sprinkle of him too.
Just I'm a Tiger Woods truther at this point.
Right? Like, it feels weird, but he's, yeah. Any thoughts on Spieth? Like, are you going to play him? Or, I mean, he could come in at like 10% owned.
I was about to mention Spieth. I mean, he missed the cut at the Memorial. Yep. Other than that, he's had just an all right season. He just has a ridiculous precedent that he set for himself by winning all these majors and stuff. Obviously snuck one past Dustin Johnson at Chambers Bay a few years ago. And since then he's been just, disturbingly mediocre at majors. I like his real low double bogey or worse percentage. Him and Rose really have that going on for them compared to a lot of the other studs. And, he has the driving accuracy, but hasn't been hitting it quite as far. I mean, if you just try to remove the name Spieth from and look at him from just a numbers standpoint, I mean, the approach game is nice. The putting, which has been horrible all season long and just consistently horrible, he actually turned it around last time out, gained a stroke putting,
right,
despite missing the cut. So, he lost all of it around the green. I don't know. It's like it's really easy for Spieth at $10,800 on DraftKings to get lost in the mix with just some juicy plays like DJ and Justin Thomas. Day has been playing well, and of course Rose. You know, they'll suck up all of the ownership. Yeah. Ricky Fowler, who I haven't even talked about yet, he has the most money put on him in Vegas so far, just because he's a huge fan favorite. You know,
right. That's I like what you said about taking Spieth's name off it. If you just look at his stats, like you look at that guy, I look at him and go, man, that's the guy that's due for maybe some positive regression. Like he is going to be low owned because his putting sucks. His around the green game was bad at Memorial, but statistically better than that. Like I don't want to jump back on the Spieth bandwagon, but I could find myself with a little Jordan Spieth this week. And if somebody wants to do it as a game theory play, like I'm not talking him off it.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't really make out for like an odds value because
no.
Jason Day is cheaper and he has better odds. Rose is a lot cheaper and he has better odds. I mean, how chalky is Rose going to be? I know that he was the chalkiest at the Masters, but how chalky is he going to get here?
Yeah.
Because hasn't let anyone down.
Anybody that, you know, you put a guy like that under 10K and like, he's just going to suck up some ownership.
Why on earth is he under 10K? FanDuel did it, right? He's the second most expensive, but on DraftKings, it's just like, here you go. You want Justin Rose? Have him. He's free.
Yeah. I think Rose will be, he's got to be the highest owned player this week. Don't you think? Him or DJ, but I mean, even with the soft pricing, it is a little hard to fit DJ in sometimes.
Yeah, you never really see the highest of the highest salary guys being the chalkiest in majors, even when Spieth was winning Masters after Masters.
Yeah,
he wasn't the highest.
It's usually that value guy that you find like in that 10K range.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be Rose. It's going to be Paul Casey.
Yep.
And that sucks, but these are guys that never let you down.
Right, they're the...
Hopefully they don't...
Like, if you're building a cash game lineup, you're going Justin Rose, Paul Casey, and then, you know, Matt Kuchar. And then after that, you're, you know, you can fill in wherever. But those should be the three you're starting with.
Oh, definitely.
Even, you know, you can fit Henrik Stenson in there, too, and now you got four guys and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, four guys who aren't really going to miss, or aren't really going to get into a lot of trouble.
Right. You know, yeah, guys that hit fairways, you know, yeah, cash game builds.
So let's get into this, like, 8K range at least to begin with. Obviously, yeah, you got Henrik Stenson at $8,800, just looking like a slam dunk play as far as the odds value goes. I know he's not the longest off of the tee, but his driving accuracy percentage, just
78
compared to everyone else in this range. You know, Dustin Johnson, Rory, Justin Thomas, they're all at 55%. Rahm looks good with 60% driving accuracy. Stenson's at 78, 75% greens regulation percentage, and it's not even a weird thing for him. That's just what Stenson just what he does. He gains strokes every week. Gained a stroke and a half last week.
If his putting normalizes this week, like, Henrik Stenson could win the U.S. Open. He's one of my favorite plays on the board this week. And I know we've been, you know, kind of going to the Henrik Stenson well the last couple weeks here, but if that putter comes around and gets hot like it was, you know, a year, even earlier this year, I mean, he was gaining strokes putting. Like, we could see Henrik Stenson win another major.
Yeah, if his approach game goes anywhere like it did for times last year, then let me know. But
right, yeah.
Until then, just keep riding him. He's been freaking terrific this year. Yeah,
there's, I mean,
as far as that goes,
I've been playing, you know, 30% ish Henrik Stenson every week, and it's he's hitting value almost every single week. It's he's just steady Eddie. You know, I love him this week, and like I said, I think you could see Stenson contending here this week.
They beg you to play him with the price.
Yeah, that's the problem. But I just don't think I don't think he's popular enough to pull in the casual golf fan, especially when people are going to see Patrick Reed as $300 less and go, oh, he just won the Masters.
Unfortunately, though, they saw Stenson up there late on the Masters.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
finished top five there, and his game log is looking pretty darn right now. With all the top 10 finishes and whatnot.
Lots of top 25s.
Yeah. But, you know, all these guys that are looking a little rough on the game log, it's hard to get behind too many of them, you know? I mean, Spieth, I can get behind the most. Rory, we just glossed over.
Yeah, we really didn't even talk about Rory. And
he's just overpriced and hasn't
produced.
Oh, you look at his top 10%, his top 5% compared to the rest of the studs, and it's not really that close.
No.
But
he's, if it looks like it's not going to be windy and that you could just beat up this course and it's going to be like a minus 12, minus 13, then I could maybe get behind a little bit of Rory, but he's just not that good.
Exactly.
He's not, like, you know what I mean? He hasn't really ever contended or hasn't contended too many times at the British Open. Like, I don't know. I'm not interested in Rory this week.
It's the approach game. It's the green, the regulation game. It's just not there this year.
Yep. And he, you know, he's almost hitting 2% in the double bogey or worse percentage.
Yeah, if it's a course where off the tee strokes just matter the most, and those have even been struggling, you know, compared to usual. Usually he's like leading the league or leading the tour, and he's not. That's Rahm and DJ this year.
Yep.
But yeah, getting back to this 8K range here, you have a few interesting names. Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, I was just
probably
going to
get swept under the rug again.
Yeah,
I mean, that was last year. He finished second.
Yeah, I like Hideki. I mean, he's. You look at those, I mean, outside of Stenson, he's probably Stenson and Sergio, but I have no interest in Sergio. Outside of those two, he's got some of the best driving accuracy and greens regulation, you know, decent off the tee and coming back from an injury. So games starting to come around again, a 16th and a 13th in his last two times out. I'm going to have a little bit of Hideki this week, and I think he's going to be one of the lower owned guys in this range, you know, surrounded by Koepka, Stenson, Woods. I'm especially on DK. I like that $8,900 price tag.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's right there in line with Stenson and the odds.
Yep.
It just feels like Stenson will be much higher owned than Matsuyama. And
yeah,
it's like a really basic pivot, you know. The crazy stat here with him: 86% made cut percentage, but the adjusted field rank's only 65%. So, like, when he's missing the cut, it's horrible. Like, he's finishing dead last.
Right.
With Stenson, his made cut percentage 67%, his adjusted field rank of 73%. It shows he's barely missing the cut, and he's putting up a lot of
been playing high well.
Finishes, beating a lot of guys. It's just weird to see him so flip flop in those two stats.
Yeah,
but
it's been a while since Stenson's missed a cut. It's been a while since Stenson's missed a cut too.
Yeah, a little while, but he just had a really rough go at it last year.
At the U.S. Open?
Just overall the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, and the thing about, you know, if around the green game play, there's not a lot of guys better than Hideki with a wedge in their hand, you know, 10, 12 yards off the green and chipping it up close. It's just that putter that makes me a little nervous with playing him.
Yeah, and if we see anything that really, you know, leads to around the green sticking out, you know, him, Tiger, Phil, they just seem like so much better than everyone else. Maybe Day. Day's
Tiger short game is so good outside of the putter. Like he should almost putt with a wedge in his hand on the green sometimes. But he's what are you? You gonna have some Tiger ownership this week, or what do you think?
Yeah, I've been playing Tiger pretty much all year now. At this point, you know, he just lost all of his strokes putting, and I'm targeting that. So I'm definitely.
I mean, we talk about that in when we're doing showdown, you know, notes and stuff like that, is that's the biggest variance. That's the thing that flips the fastest. And, you know, Tiger goes back to even strokes putting, like, watch out. Cause he's going to throw up some low numbers.
He was 23rd with just god awful putting. Right. If he would have had just normal putting, he would have been contending right there. But we've seen that a couple times this year. And like I said,
just having a hard time getting everything going together. So, what, as we go down here, any interest in Sergio or Phil?
Sergio, man, no, you can't play Sergio at this point. Just four horrible miscuts in a row for him.
Yeah,
I think the players was an MDF, but just no, it's been horrible.
Yeah, not interested.
His approach game is what made him, and he lost over a stroke approach at Byron Nelson. It was just tragic. So I can't mess with him, even if he's going to be like, he's going to get at least enough ownership for me to not care about playing.
Right.
You'd have to be like 1% owned or something
for me to try to be like, hey, I'll play 10% and be 10 times the field.
Yeah, because there are guys I actually want to play who are actually doing well.
Like actual good golfers?
Yeah. There are lots of them to choose from, so you don't really have to go dumpster diving. Yeah.
Is this Phil's last?
My grandma would really love it if I not play Sergio, because she's always just like, just going off on Sergio all the time. She just hates him.
Is this Phil's last shot at the U.S. Open, you think? Or has he got a few more years in him?
He's got a few more years on him. Too many top tens for him.
Right.
To even, like, he's not even eligible for the Champions Tour yet.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. I could be talked into Phil this week. He's just not very accurate off the tee. And, you know, from the rough, he's not the greatest. And he brings those big numbers into play. I know he contended here, you know, in 2004, but that's a lot different, Phil, in 2004 than we see now.
Did you say Phil from the rough is not the greatest?
Well,
he is the greatest.
I'm saying like in the long.
Overall,
He's getting a little old to be hacking it out of the, you know, the fescue.
Yeah, hitting backward shot and stuff, but yeah.
No, I get
it. I could definitely see where you're coming at with him. He's either going to, like, really, the precedent with him is he's either going to get like a top 10, top 15, or he's just going to miss the cut horribly.
Yep.
And
the
2 years that I know that course history doesn't matter much here, but they have played here twice. If you go all the way back to like 1995, Phil Mickelson has a second and a fourth place finish here. Just something to think
about it.
Just, I'm just asking questions, you know, I'm just, I'm just saying things.
I'll one off Phil in a couple of lineups, like a pivot off of a Stenson or somebody like that, but I'm not making a stand on Phil this week. I'd love to see him do well, and if he does well, that's great, because it'd be great TV and great drama to watch him contend at another U.S. Open and try to complete that career Grand Slam. But like you said, it's kind of boom or bust with him.
I just like his upside a lot.
Yeah,
you know, because he is posting a lot of top tens. Like in the last 30 events, he has over half the time he's finishing top 20.
That's crazy. He's got a lot of win equity too, I think.
Yep. Speaking of win equity, a guy that just won the last major here, Patrick Reed. He hasn't really done anything bad since then. The worst was the 41st place finish at the Players, and I'd like to, you know, the Players, one of those tournaments I don't really put too much stock into.
No,
same with the Memorial, just there's so much water and variance.
Yep.
But, I mean,
I didn't realize he played at the Memorial.
He did.
He got 29th.
You were able to pick him for your DraftKings teams.
I just didn't have any of them.
No, I think he's just really, really. I think he's like what price in the 9Ks or something, but. You know, $8,500, 11-3 on FanDuel, same price as Stenson there. But on DraftKings, he's definitely a lot more playable. I don't know. Sure. He's bad with driving distance and accuracy. He has the negative combo of what we want. That's always been
not a good combination here.
The rest of his, you know, if you just go approach to green, he's really good. Just forget about the tee part.
Not a horrible putter.
I mean, I'll have some read because this... This area for me, I don't like a lot of the plays. I don't like Sergio a lot. I will use some Phil, and I'll need to be talked off of some Stenson. But like, I'm not huge on Grace because of the game long thing. I'm not huge on Bryson at all.
I'm probably gonna make a zero stand on Bryson.
That's a little wild, but you know he's so good at par five scoring that par 70s. I don't think play into his favor.
Nope.
But
although
He's been playing really well. I mean, you can't deny that. And I don't know. I kind of do like his distance with accuracy is pretty good. Sure. Not like as good as Rom, but it's up there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, 307 off the tee, hitting it 63% of the time accurate. It's 70% good.
He's positive in every single strokes gain metric, just average and around the green.
Right. And he was actually, I mean, he actually gained less strokes than average at Memorial and won the tournament. So that's not a bad thing.
When you're going down the list here, Bryson's got to be the first like non-stud that you see.
Yeah.
And it's obvious. You see it with the average field strength and made cut percentage long term, 63%. He's still just god awful last year. I know he's good now, but.
Yeah, that's going to take some time.
Last year, it was really, last year he missed the cut here, missed in his debut
massively.
In 2015. But he had that 15th place finish at Oakmont.
Yep.
I don't know. I just think Bryson's going to be really popular. And I want to show some love to some of the other guys in this 8K range, a few spots lower than him, you know? Or even Bubba Watson.
So, should we talk about our. I was thinking there, you know, Riviera is a corollary course. He hits the ball country mile. It's not super accurate, but his off the tee, you know, gaining strokes all over the place.
His driving accuracy hasn't been quite as horrible as it used to be.
58%.
We're used to him being under 50%.
Under 50 for sure. Yeah. So he's
sneaky. I just think he's really sneaky at GPP. Yeah, like history at the US Open is god awful.
Not good. But, you know, I mean, I think especially if we look and see, like, there's going to be some wind and, you know, you get a guy who can shape some shots out there and keep it low and hit a big hook and runner. And, I think he could be sneaky in GPP.
All right, so two other guys are going to be on big time this year in the lower 8K range. We've already talked about Paul Casey.
Yep, love him.
You know, gotta love him. But, I guess we'll talk about it real quick. Just look at the made cut percentage, 91%. Adjusted field rank, 82%. Just shits on everyone else
not
in this
bad.
Range. I mean, Cantlay's right there because Cantlay's good. Kuchar's good.
Cantlay is good, and he never misses a cut except for when we like go way over.
Yeah, except for when you go ham on him.
when you make a real big, like 50% stand on Cantlay, he misses the cut. And then when you don't play him, he contends. So that's kind of my deal.
Yeah, I just play them all the time and just
every week
just put them in. And I hit submit, but I do like Tommy Fleetwood, $8,100. You know, you talk about the combination of driving distance and accuracy. He's hitting almost 70% of his fairways, and he hits it over 300. Awesome approach game,
Tommy Fleetwood. Yeah, I love him. And approach the green stats are unreal. Pretty good around the greens. His putting's been, you know, better this year, it seems like. And link style course, guy who's kind of a grinder, lots of success on similar style courses like the BMW over in Europe. And I'm going to have a lot of Tommy. I'm going to be well overweight on Tommy Fleetwood and those lovely locks this week.
Oh, yes. We're big long hair fans over here.
Yep.
Love me some Fleetwood. That's my boy.
Yep, big into Fleetwood this week. I think Yeah, and you know, he's played in two U.S. Opens and made the cut both times and finished top 30. So that's I don't think it's not like the normal. It's not like he's coming over from Europe for the first time anymore and going to surprise people. But I do think he'll be a little lower owned, especially being priced right next to Paul Casey, who's going to be chalk of the chalk.
I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be low owned because I think everyone remembers him because he almost won last year.
I would,
and he was like
my
crazy
guess is he'll
chalk.
Be 15 to 20.
Like, he was chalky at the Wells Fargo coming off of a miscut.
Yeah,
and then
that's
at the
true.
Players, even off of two miscuts, he was still kind of chalky at the Players and top 10 there last time out. Since then, you know, he's just boosted his game log with European Tour starts. I mean,
yeah, played well over at the Italian
Open. Crazy chalk all year long. I don't think that people are going to stop rostering Fleetwood. Sure. The only reason they would stop rostering him is because Casey's right there.
Yeah, but I bet you we see a lot of, now that you say that, I bet you we see a lot of DJ, Fleetwood, Casey cores being built, and that might be the, you know, the top stack that we see this week.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know. I think the most common core is going to have Rose in there for sure. Maybe like Rose, Stenson, Fleetwood, Casey. That make a lineup with that, you're not going to be unique, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. And that's, you know, I mean, if you want to talk about that for a second, like, especially you're looking at the four and the Millie Maker both having 200,000, you know, entrants this week. You got to be don't get off a good play because of ownership, but you got to be a little unique if you want to win some money.
A little bit. I mean, ties and PGA are still rare,
right?
Because there are so many possible permutations, and it's 156 guy field. Just if you're playing six chalky guys,
right?
Then you're probably gonna tie.
Yeah,
so why do that?
That's okay.
But you just need one play to separate you.
Yep.
Really.
Yeah, you can play five. You can play five chalky guys in a single digit percent ownership, and you're fine. You know, but sometimes I think, yeah, we guys try to get too cute and don't talk yourself off a good play because he's gonna be owned, but find a differentiator somewhere else.
Yeah, and just to help a few of you guys out here, because this happens all the time. Just don't think, oh, I'm gonna kind of fade a guy and then just like go hard 0% if it's like a chalky guy. Just at least consider like going 15% if they're gonna be 25%. Just doing an underweight thing.
Yeah,
I know that a lot of people think that optimally you should just go zero. It's just like for your own like mental health and sanity. Like for what, if you go zero on a guy, just like, hey, you listening right there, you in your kitchen, just chewing on some Doritos, listening to this podcast, you know, if you go 0% on that guy, you're going to think about, he's just going to win. So don't do it there.
Right.
That's my little PSA. But there are a few plays around this range of Casey and Fleetwood that I think are going to be under-owned just because we get lost in the fray. Adam Scott has been playing really well. His approach game, just consistently good week after week after week after week. Just god-awful putting last time out, and that's what kept him from a good finish. And that's kind of, you know, that's just what Scott
too
does.
I mean, he's just been, since he's switched back to that long putter and you know, the weird, awkward, standing up straight putting stance, which, I mean, obviously he had a bad week last week, but it has been a little better, and you see that with, you know, the ninth place at the Byron Nelson, the 11th at the Players, you know, starting to play a little bit better, and just consistent. And he's an Australian playing well on the wind, and a guy who you could see, you know, come out here and get a top 10, and wouldn't surprise me.
If you look at his spirit brother, Webb Simpson, at least his putting brother. Because they're like the same guy, right? They're just horrible putters that are just great.
Adam Scott is much better looking.
Yeah, he's much better.
Yeah, that too.
He's always had the picture perfect stroke.
Pretty to watch.
Like the perfect stroke, yes. But you know, with Simpson, he's done pretty much the exact same thing as Scott here, and we just saw him win at the Players, and he putted his way there for that win. And then at the Fort Worth Invitational, that just turned around. He lost a stroke and a half putting. So, I mean, putting is just a wild, wild stat. But if everything else is there for you and it's there consistently, that's a pretty good play in my book. So I don't mind Scott at all here.
Nope, I like Scott. I like the guy right below him a lot too, even though if you look at his event history, it's not the greatest.
Horrible.
You know, Alex Noren's got, you know, 50-1 odds and price kind of in that, you know, 50-60 range, which seems about appropriate for here, but he just heck of a ball striker. You know, decent distance, good distance,
well.
Good distance off the tee, good driving accuracy, greens and reg, gaining strokes off the tee every week. I don't know. I really like Alex Noren this week.
He's I always like him better if it's a European Tour event because he has crazy win equity sure. over there. But he has done really well this season outside of a few big hiccups.
He blew up at the Wells Fargo, and his Masters course history isn't very good. He still made the cut though, right?
This one ain't either, but
yeah.
No, he missed the cut pretty badly. He almost finished last. It was bad.
Yeah, that's right. He
redeemed himself with the Players. But if you look back further past the Masters, he had a really, really good start to the season.
Had that lost on that Monday morning when he had to go back all day. And he's got decent projected course here, 14.7. Good fantasy points per hole. How is he as a par four scorer? Not the greatest long par fours.
It would be the best if they were all... Oh yeah, no, he's not very good at all. He's good at the long par threes. Yep. That's about it.
So he'll be good on that 250. I'm gonna have some Alex Noren. Just I like him. He's not a great US Open, but he's gonna be low owned. And you know what is he in the OWGR? Not that that's a great stat, but
I'm gonna guess he's like 12. Not 12. Probably like 18th or so. I don't know. I don't have a
16th.
16. So, there you go.
He's actually one in front of. How did he jump in front of? Did he play last week? He jumped in front of Stenson by a point.
Stenson's kind of climbing up a bit. He dropped in the world rankings for a little while.
Stenson?
Yeah. Just because he ended a ton of events. And he just had a rough go at it.
Yeah, he ended 2017 in ninth, top 10.
Noren, yeah. Well, anyway, we need to keep going down this field here.
Yeah, where else are we going to?
Yeah, like, I don't want to skip over Leishman at $7,800. I think he's in a really good spot.
Yep.
Because I know it's not there right now, but, like, historically, he's always been a good total driver.
What's going on?
It's just been really, really, really good so far this year. It's been consistent. It just hasn't gone anywhere. Okay. I don't know what's up with him off the tee. Last five events, he's lost a half a stroke.
That's weird, huh?
Season long, he's negative. You know, it's kind of weird, yeah, because he would lead the tour in total driving oftentimes.
So we can see
that he's having like his best season. You know,
right?
It just shows how important the approach game is. But you know, I would just use him in GPP because he has a really good top 10 equity.
Yeah, I think Leishman's a good player here. 7,800. What do you think about ownership for Leishman? Should he probably be lower owned in this range, don't you think?
I don't know. You know?
He's a big name.
He was kind of low owned before the Byron Nelson. Not sure what he was at the Memorial. I can pull it up, but he never gets too out of control, and he's priced around guys that'll suck the ownership out of him. Anyway.
Right.
And 32% of the time, he's coming in the top 10 over 29 events. The last 2 years, the two wins. That's really good. That's just a really high upside. Also, Louis Oosthuizen, if we had a stat like strokes gained just at majors, like Oosthuizen, if you just compare it to baseline, that'd be pretty darn good. He's just so good at majors.
Just shows up at majors, like just gets it done.
And he's shown up twice in a row now at Fort Worth and at the Memorial, 5th and 13th. Gained a stroke and a half approach last time around. And that's what was killing him earlier in the season. So he killed him at the Players.
Players, yep.
He only has these two events where he's turned around at, but...
Yeah, Louis's intriguing there.
Yeah, he is. And his odds are finally, like, caught up with him. You know, usually he's priced so high that his odds stick out compared to everyone else. But he's there. He's finally under 50-1. We haven't seen him in a while.
You know, we're thinking that there might be some weather here and a wind player. And you look at, you know, some of those South Africans and the Australians and the Europeans, and Louis kind of fits that mold. And if he can get that approach game figured out, like, the rest of his game's pretty good right now.
I got a South African for you. That'll be the last person we talk about. We need to push this field so we don't have a
4-hour show.
2.5-hour pod like the Masters one. So this 7K range here. Got to talk about Cantlay, 7,700. Finally had his first.
What do you think?
His first non-Masters miscut at the Fort Worth Invitational and turned it around. The really nice showing at the Memorial. It was looking like he was competing to win there for a little bit. Ended up settling for fourth. Would you believe me if I told you? Is that? Wow, looks like, did he lose 2.5 strokes approach at the Memorial?
Yes. Lost 2.5 strokes approach. That is ridiculous.
I can't even believe it, honestly.
Right? Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Despite all that, he was still able to put it together. I guess he was just putting normally for once. I don't know. But, yeah, Cantlay is just someone that I've used a ton overall. I mean, not too thrilled, you know, with the recent approach there, obviously, but still.
The only thing I'm concerned about with Cantlay is I don't know what the actual number is, but just watching the flyovers and stuff this week, there's a lot of bunkers here, and we know that that's not necessarily the best part of his game, but he's got so much talent, and he really is a good driver of the ball, and I think, you know, we could see a Patrick Cantlay contend here.
Yeah, definitely. And when I watched his post-round interview,
yep,
at the Memorial, and he was just all eyes on the U.S. Open. Was really, really, really looking forward to it this week. He actually played here as an amateur, at least back when he was first making his debut on the tour in 2011 and 2012. I guess not here, but, you know, at the U.S.
Right,
Open,
the U.S. Open.
21st and 41st. Just made the cut.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a guy with had a great amateur career and has played in, you know, a lot of USGA events, so is comfortable here. And yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me to see Patrick Cantlay up at the, you know, finish top 25 here. But it also wouldn't surprise me to see him take four whacks in a bunker and try to get it out of there and make a big number.
A couple of guys we really need to talk about in the 7K range here. Matt Kuchar, $7,600.
Just put him in your lineup and play him.
We see him around this price every single major, and usually his ownership's like 24% every time. And that's fair.
Yeah.
And it's like you theoretically want to fade that and just hope that anyone around him can do better. But it doesn't really matter where they tee it up at. The dude just makes cuts. I mean, 3 top 16 finishes in the last 4 years at the U.S. Open. You know he never misses the cut at Augusta either. Always shows up for the Open Championship and the PGA Championship. I think the PGA might be one of his worst, actually, there. And his course history is still good. Or his event history is still good there. I mean, the dude
money. He's 7,600. Like, his worst finish at the U.S. Open in the last 8 years is 46th. If he finishes 46th this week at 7,600 on DK, like, he hits value, right? Like, it's just a plug him in and play him. Like, don't overthink it. Like, he's gonna see a large himself in a large percentage of my lineups.
And what percentage of the time does he hit top 40? 80% of the time.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's
pretty good.
It's, you're overthinking it. Like, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know he's not thought of as like a long hitter, but he's hitting it 291.
Yeah, no,
this year.
He's not bad. Like,
not
he's
bad.
He's got those Skechers. It adds at least five yards to his total.
Yeah. And what else does that tell me? I guess he never, what is it that commercial they always does? I think he, like, reprimands you for trying to lay it up on the fairway. He's going for it. Although, in reality, I'm sure that he is a fairway layer upper. So he's just so safe.
Right.
Then we've got Molinari here. His odds are even better, 55-1 compared to Kuchar's 65-1. But I think he has a better chance of winning. He was really, really good overseas. I think his last two events, didn't he just win recently?
Yeah, he won the BMW PGA Championship on the Euro Tour, beat Rory. Rory kind of fell apart on the weekend there. And then what? He was either third or fourth at the Italian Open, or second maybe. He was right up there though all weekend.
And he was defending that one, I do believe.
Yep. So he's you think Francesco Molinari? You don't necessarily think of him. I mean, he's such a short little guy. But he's hitting at 302 off the tee. So he's not really short by any means. He's a guy that I think you really need to consider here. And a good, you know, decent U.S. Open track record. And he always seems to pop in majors. Last year at the PGA, he came around and found himself in the top five there at the end. And yeah, I really like Molinari this week.
Yeah, the only thing I guess that's concerning with him is last time out, the players, he missed the cut.
But, yep.
You know, it's all grass.
Right. And like you said, like that's the last time on the PGA Tour, but BMW PGA is one of the better European Tour events. And he just, you know, outlasted Rory on the weekend and made just a ton of birdies. So that was, that's good to see.
Keegan Bradley also just, he's at 7,600 as well. And his approach stats have been ungodly all season long.
Yeah.
And he's been doing pretty well.
Like if he could putt, like if he had putted earlier in the year at some point, he'd probably have won. Maybe not.
Definitely.
But he'd be priced higher than where he
is. I mean, he's had some like close calls over the swing season. He was putting up top tens like crazy.
Yep. No, and he hits the ball a mile, like good driving accuracy, good distance. I mean, he's 68% driving accuracy. That's one of the better guys, you know, in this range for sure.
Oh yeah, like statistically he just pops.
Yep. Just
pretty much everywhere except putting.
Except for putting.
Tony Finau, you'd imagine Finau's going to be popular here. $7,500. So. You know, he's a known bomber. No accuracy to speak of, but despite that, good approach game as well. Really.
Yeah, last time out, 1 point, gained a full stroke approach.
Yeah, 71% greens regulation. I mean, good numbers.
Yep.
You know, just kind of just trying to breeze through the field here because I think we've hit the hour mark.
Yeah.
Jimmy Walker is going to be popular for the game loggers. Five straight top 20s for him. What do you think about Jimmy this week? Jimmy Walker.
He had all sorts of controversy on Twitter this week, too, calling a guy out. Like, yeah, it's been popular this week, but I don't know. His game log looks okay. He's got good approach stats. Like, he's such a good iron player. His driving hasn't been great. Putting, not excellently, but.
He's been putting well all season long, even his last he's gained half a stroke just the last time out. He had a rough go at it and still finished 20th.
He putted well with the players. Yeah, you get in the 7,300 range, and there's guys down here that can play where, you know, like last week you're scrounging for somebody in this range. Now you're talking about guys that are top 50 in the world here.
Yeah. I just like getting off of Walker because his game log looks so perfect.
Yeah,
all top 20s. I like Ian Poulter.
Brant Snedeker. Really, both of those two really have popped for me.
Poulter's been good recently, had the win, does well at tough courses, a good long-term made cut percentage. And Brant Snedeker, just, I don't know why, he's just so freakishly good at the U.S. Open.
Right?
Year after year after year after year. I mean, like three top tens in his last four, and I'm going to cut this up, I guess six top 17s. In his last seven U.S. Opens.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
One miscut.
289 off the tee. 60% driving accuracy. 63% greens of reg. This year has not been kind to Brant. But last time out, did pretty well. All short game.
Yep.
That's not something I really like to target, you know. That's why I'm kind of more towards... I'm looking more at Poulter in this little range here. Not Kisner. Because he's like Sergio. No, he's just being questionable.
I won't be touching, or the guy below Kisner. I won't be touching Chap.
Yeah,
just hasn't done anything since the Masters, where he got hurt. You know, I mean, I guess he had a 30th at what? Is that Texas? But
yeah,
he's been bad.
In the $7,200 range, you gotta look to Cabrera Bayo, who can pop in majors. Probably, you know.
Yep, I love him this week. Good value down here.
Yeah, good value for the odds. Kyle Stanley, coming off the runner-up at the Memorial, almost won. Was in that playoff.
Kyle Stanley's so accurate off the tee. I mean, he's 69%. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's not like cheating like Stenson is, but
still
actually hitting the driver and landing it in there.
Any interest in Shane Lowry?
Yeah, I mean, he's made so many cuts in a row. Not really doing anything with him. No top 30 finishes. Thing. But what I like about him is just he's gained strokes approach every single week consistently, week after week after week, like round after round, he gains strokes. It's incredible.
Not a great putter, but you know,
Two top tens at the U.S. Open in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Luke List also is in this range, and he sucks, but, man, can he bomb it, you know?
If it,
I know it's only supposed to rain on Wednesday, and it's supposed to be clear sailing.
Yep.
I don't know if there is any, like, rain that picks up the forecast, or if I'm just making a bomber-style lineup, that's what I'll look to List.
Sure.
The bottom part of the 7K range here, I mean, Zach Johnson's someone you pretty much always have to point out, because, you know, he can win a major.
Right.
Yeah.
Not been great this year, other than, you know, had a good finish in Texas, but not... His approach game has not been good, has it? Last couple times out?
Last couple of times out has been rough for him.
Yep. That's usually his calling card.
At the Players, he was chalks. He was so cheap, and then he ended up getting the MDF.
Yep.
And missed the cut at the Fort Worth.
Yeah, that hurt a lot of lineups.
Oh, yeah. Peter Uihlein is, you know, he's just been really, really hot. Played four of the last
really
5
well.
Weeks. Yeah, just several top 20 finishes in a row for him, but he's just not a proven commodity at all yet.
Nope. There's other guys down here that I think you can play instead of him.
Yeah, Griot actually pops as our top value this week. $7,100 has yet to miss a cut this season. Terrific driving accuracy and driving distance, 294 off the tee, isn't shabby. No one's better approach this year, like as far as consistency goes. He's been locked in, and he's getting even better.
You just scroll over on the RS, and it's like everything is light green, dark green, light green, dark green. Like that's good. You know, we're seeing lots of positive statistics from him, and you maybe worry a little bit about his length or if his putter doesn't show up that he struggles a little. But I really like Grillo this week. His approach game is so good.
Well, his putter's always there because he's just a good putter.
He doesn't
like
miss
2 weeks
very much.
Ago. Fort Worth, he was hitting everything. He gained like a billion strokes putting.
Right.
But that's just like a normal thing for him. His stats are almost identical if you go by last week, gained 0.55 strokes. Last five overall, he's gained 0.56.
Wow.
Season long, 0.55. Just real consistent numbers there. I don't know. Then you've just got like a random smorgasbord of names that you could go, why not, you know?
Right.
Like, Pat Perez, why not? Tyrrell Hatton, why not? Russell Henley, fuck it, why not?
Why not? Guy can putt. How about, look at that event, look at that U.S. Open event history for Jason Duffner.
I don't know why. Last year, that sounds
127.
But top 10s, man, yeah, some top 10s.
Yeah, he's popped a couple times.
Just awful putting his last time out, which...
He gained a stroke and a half. Yeah, he gained strokes off the tee last time out and putted awful. Where did he play?
Really good off the tee.
Yeah.
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 And he missed the cut,
approach game was pretty good last time out. Around the green was not. I know we talked about Chesson a little at the beginning. I kind of like him this week. He's just been playing really consistently. 80% made cut rate. Big, tall, lanky dude who hits it pretty well. Approach game good.
Just 7K.
Another guy who's not great around the green, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to be huge this week.
Yeah. I mean, around the green just seems average. Depends on how you cut it. Last five, he's positive. I mean, he's just been playing really well, you know? And
this
will kind of be an ultimatum on him, you know? I mean, the Players are supposed to be one of those ultimatums. He finished 11th, although he barely made the cut then. I remember he was right there with, who's the other guy that just made the cut on the dot? I think it was Justin Thomas. Like, just barely made the cut. And then he also finished tied with Justin Thomas, 11th.
That's nuts.
Pretty wild.
What, anybody else down here interesting to you?
I mean, Hadwin still hasn't technically missed the cut on the season. Oh, he just MDF'd. He's just been getting worse over the last few weeks. You can see he has the made cut percentage of 81%. The adjusted field rank of only 64%. You know, it kind of shows you that he's making cuts in just not doing a ton with them, you know?
Right.
Not the high-end finishes as where, you know, guys with the guys with the higher adjusted field rank, you can tell they're just higher quality golfers that get top tens, top fives. You know,
those approach stats just look sexy every week, and then he just continues to just be a mediocre putter. Like if his putter heats up, he's gonna, you know, finish in the top 25. But his he's been, you know, pretty mediocre the last couple weeks, last couple months, really. 24th at the Masters. That's, but he's got some pretty good course history there too.
When you go to under 7K, one guy sticks out for me big time: Steve Stricker.
Yeah,
five straight top 21 finishes, and he's just been solid every time he tees it up.
Yeah, he I didn't play enough of him last week, and I should have played more. But he's every time he comes out here, he's just stud. How did he finish in 2004? Was he there?
Oh, I'm gonna have to be Googling this.
Right, 85% made cut percentage, 79% adjusted field rank. So when he's making the cut, he's you know playing well.
He good selects what he wants to play,
right?
And it's just he does so well.
And he actually, yeah, he gained strokes putting last week, which was kind of, I mean, he hasn't been, you know, losing a ton of strokes, but he's been negative the last five.
Here, actually, Steve Stricker did play in 2014, and he missed the cut.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He sure did. He was just a wee lad back then.
Seems like so long ago.
Yeah, he's old, but he actually does. He's not to the Furyk level where he's struggling off the tee, hitting it
right.
290.
Still hitting it pretty good.
I would like to hit 290. That'd be great.
Right. Steve Stricker, good value. Ben On, I think, is a good value.
Chez Reavie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, On is just his approach game last time out worried me. Missed the cut
last week.
Really bad last week, but overall, it's usually just pretty decent.
Yep.
He gains a lot of strokes off the tee, and that's a little bit more important this week, so. I don't mind getting back on his miscut just made sure that everyone doesn't pile on him
again.
The Chez Reavie here, I mean,
man,
he finally came back. He came back from the grave,
right?
Just through his putting, which is concerning. You know, I wish his approach game was back to how the way it used to be. That was so nice. But I mean, you know,
man, the beginning of the year this year, last year, he was playing so well. But we saw that last week, played really well again.
He did well last year at the U.S. Open, tied with Stricker for 16th.
Yep.
I don't know. At this point, we're just naming names, just like possibilities, you know.
Yeah, these aren't like guys that you should be locking into your lineups by any means. But I think they're good GPP options and guys that are, you know, probably going to be. I'll have some Steve Stricker and some Ben On in my player pool, and maybe a little Chez Reavie and a couple other guys as we get down the list here.
I probably would make Stricker a really I'm using Stricker a pretty darn good amount. I think he's one of the better plays on the board. 6,900. That's like cash game.
I was going to say, is he cash game viable this week?
Yeah,
I think
he's
so.
He's definitely cash game viable. Like, if you want to just play him in cash and fade him in GPP, that's also a way to go. But,
yeah.
Like, he's been posting top 20 finishes, not just making the cut. Like, he's been doing well.
Yeah, it's not like he's just got a string of 40s here. Like, he's been playing real well.
He probably leads the entire field in double bogey worst percentage. It's right at 1%. That's elite. Going down
actually,
lower.
If you go a little bit lower, I think there's a guy down there that me and you both like that has a good double bogey worst percentage that's the same as Stricker.
Oh man.
Charles Howell III.
Hey, we're getting to him, okay? We just need one little price chunk here, the $6,800 range, and we can get to Howell. Okay.
Okay.
$6,800. So this is where you'll be looking at Brendan Steele, Russell Knox, Gary Woodland, and former champion Graham McDowell.
I think you can play Trey Mullinex on FanDuel. Play well again.
He's
last
like almost
week. He
min
ninth.
Price on FanDuel. And
six
last week, ninth at the US Open last year.
Absolutely
bomb.
But just I think he's an option over there on FanDuel. I probably won't be playing him on DK, but I'll have a little Mullinex on FanDuel.
Just so that people listening understand here, he did come sixth last week, but don't let that distract you from the fact that he missed a bunch of cuts before that. He's not a proven commodity at this point,
nope,
but he does hit it farther than anybody else.
Longest hitter on tour.
But you know who he did not hit it farther than last week?
Who? Oh, my boy, Charles Howell III.
No idea how. Charles Howell III was second only to Dustin Johnson in driving distance last week. Dude has hit it 315.
Like
I can't
I don't know what's
it.
Going on with him. Like, is
know.
He juicing or what's the deal?
I don't like
he must have gotten a new club. PGX right? is like, here you go, man.
I don't know. Unbelievable.
I like, can't explain bombing. That, but if you look at his strokes gained stats, all of them, no matter how you chop it up, it's always positive, you know? And none of them, yep. he doesn't like have any overwhelming strengths. He's just always been like a solid overall golfer. Pretty much every regard.
Right. And you look at his game log, it's just he just makes cuts and he doesn't really always contend, but it's course.
You know, every right. other course.
Like he's 6,700
machine. 88% made cut percentage.
Yeah, it's he gives you a ton of salary relief to do a lot of stuff up top. And you know, I think other guys might, you know, be chasing something like I don't know, Brian Gay's been playing well. Who else down here?
And Howell's been playing pretty well too. I think he will attract people, which is unfortunate.
That 9-17-21 stretch in Texas is gonna look good for people.
But you know what's really telling about him? You look at the difference between his top 20 and top 10 percentage. 43% of the time finishes top 20. Only 19% of the time finishes top 10. 8% of the time top 5. It's just a drastic cutoff compared to some other guys that post some similar numbers, at least in his made cut percentage.
Sure.
But, I mean, he's always kind of been like that. It's how Casey was before he won. He just loves finishing, like, T23. That'll do you. That'll get him a decent pay cut.
Right. Just makes cuts, doesn't always contend. You might not – he'll finish T23, and you might never see him hit a shot on the Golf Channel or on NBC. And that's just kind of the way he plays.
He does do really well on the West Coast Swing. West Coast Swing, we see a lot of POA. We're seeing POA here. Could maybe that's here. Something to think about. Who knows?
Yep. Could pop here.
Then the other guy in this range, Thorborn Olesen. Don't have data on him over here, stateside, but he's been pretty good overseas. 6,700 on DraftKings, 8,000 on FanDuel. I mean, he's not as mispriced as Howell would be, where he's 9,400 on FanDuel, but still, Olesen, someone you're going to have to look at. I bet his game log looks all right since it shows the European
stuff. It shows
stuff
European tour is probably pretty good. He contended somewhere here. Where was it? Yeah, he popped here last year somewhere too. Played real well in the States.
The thing about him, something I wanted to point out for the people playing FanDuel this week is that FanDuel doesn't have European game logs at all whatsoever. So
right. Yeah, because they don't offer it.
If you're playing both sites, you might want to play your Euro guys more over on FanDuel, especially if they have pricing bump, because some guys are min price that maybe they shouldn't be. I don't know.
Taco, do you know what he did last week?
What did he do? Oh, he won last week. That's right. I knew he had been.
He won the Italian Open. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
But his game log, I mean, it's not. He had a stretch there where he didn't play very well, but
he's won several tournaments, correct?
Yeah.
He won one last year. I think it was the one in. I forget. The one in Denmark or something. I don't know. But like the,
he's got a couple.
Made in Denmark. I think he won that one.
Did he win the Volvo too, maybe? Yeah, he beat Molinari by a stroke last week, -22 to -21.
Nice. So get you some Olesen over on FanDuel.
Some Thunder Bear Olesen. Yeah, because nobody will play him over there. He'll be super, super low owned.
And then once you hit this point, it kind of hits like a rock. And all these guys are just guys who qualified but aren't good. I mean, I kind of like Ryan Fox. I know he's a really long hitter of the ball. Over on the European tour. Ted Potter Jr. has made 5 cuts in a row.
Don't sleep on Ted Potter Jr.
Don't sleep on Harry Potter's estranged on wizard uncle.
Right? What? Is there anybody else down here that's even worth like talking about? Sung Jae Im?
SJ Park. It feels like 10 years ago.
Im's leading the web.com in money right now.
Sung Jae Im or Daniel Im?
Yeah, or whatever he's going by this week.
Yeah, that confused me for a while trying to find him. Because it was like,
your boy, Dean Burmeister.
Everywhere else has that's what I was going to talk about next.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm just scrolling through the list.
DraftKings changed his name to Sung Jae Im. Because I think he's played on the European.
Yeah, he's like that on the tour app too, I think.
Yeah, it's weird. But they do some weird stuff with, like DraftKings has always done some weird stuff. Sometimes they just have straight-up misspellings in there. But, yeah, let's the bottom of the field, there's really no one you need to pay any attention to because they're all horrible. But I would look to Dean Burmester. FanDuel has him at least priced, not minimum price, but Dean Burmester is dead minimum on DraftKings. Let me just, like, pull up what he's been doing. Game long. Yeah, over the last, like, because a lot of the work he does is over on the European Tour. Did show up at the WGC Mexico event and finished 30th there. So we do have some numbers from him as far as, like, you know, he had the one event. He gained strokes off the tee, hit over 300 because, I mean, he's just like a raw bomber. I think in 2016 he led the European Tour driving distance. And I guess it's kind of been dialed back in a little bit, but he is actually playing over on the African Tour a little bit. Last two times out, Italian Open finished 30th, BMW. Yeah. PGA Championship, really strong field. He finished T12 there. That's a really good finish. Got disqualified at the Trophy Asan. So he was cheating.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what happened.
Gives you a little advantage, or maybe you just can't add one of those two. Third on the Tour Championship. Unfortunately, it's not the good one. It's the African one. I mean, you haven't seen him as much just consistently on the European Tour like last year, but he had a win in 2017. Six top 10 finishes and only four missed cuts in 29 events played. In 2016, only five missed cuts and 25 events played, a couple runner-up finishes. You know, if you just need to go to the bottom of the field, he's by far a better an option than anyone else down there. But yeah. I'd still recommend going against it, you know.
Like, if you're going to make – if you're making 40 lineups, you want to play one. Like, I can get on board with that. But there's just – with the soft pricing, you can get so much value in elsewhere.
Yeah. You don't really need to unless you're just trying to jam in Dustin with Justin Thomas together or something. And that's just not, like, it's not needed unless they're going to pull, like, a Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson and run away with it, which we never see. Outside of that one time, I think that's the only time we've seen that anytime recently. So, yeah. I mean,
you think about majors, it's not out. You never have the two top guys on the leaderboard, you know, as the two top price guys on DK. It's pretty rare.
Even, I mean, there's guys hanging around. You got the Masters where the top 10 was pretty much all like 9-10K guys. You know, you can't fit, you know, mathematically, you can only fit so many of them together. But,
it's a possibility. Who won it? It's just not a guy at what, 72? How much was Reed? 7,200 at the Masters? Yeah.
All right. So that's going to have to do it for us.
Yeah.
It's been a good pod. Good talking with you.
Yeah. It was appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, definitely stick around the Slack. We'll be talking a lot. On Wednesday evening, we'll have a group Discord like we do for each of the major tournaments. So come tune in then, ask us questions. And we'll see you guys then. Keep an eye on the weather. Just stick around the Slack chat. We'll help you out through
we'll get you set
throughout
up.
The days, help you get into these really nice contests, hopefully get some big monies.
Let's go. Let's get a big winner this week.
Yes, let's get those helmets on top of the leaderboards once again. All right. Remember that you can check us out on dfsarmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up using the link in the description of this YouTube video / podcast. It'll take you right over to dfsarmy.com. We cover every sport all in one sheet package. Hard to beat the value you get from us. So definitely come check us out. I mean, our NASCAR content's been smashing. I know the MLB guys are doing their thing. Some good WNBA coverage if you want to get on that. So we cover everything here.
World Cup starting this week?
Yes, yes. World Cup coverage.
Tons of that.
Oh, yeah. Our soccer boys are good. They're good. They're qualifying for finals and everything. It's great.
Yep.
So, yep. That'll do it. Gotta go get my daughter. So let's put an end to this. I'll see you guys next week at the. Oh, I don't even. Where are we playing next week? Shoot.
Where are we going next week?
Oh, who cares? It's the U.S. Open. Let's just dive.
Who cares? U.S. Open. Let's win this one. Let's get it.
Let's get it. All right. See you guys.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game. Game.